Hey, Jen.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. And you?
We just kind of technically met online 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, not that long ago.
You discovered In and Around by John.
John.
Historical.
Historic Building Co.
You never met him, though.
Never met him.
Lovely. You'll meet him on Sunday.
Love what he does. And then I saw about your show coming up, your event. And then that's how I found you.
I've been itching to have John, to see John again. We did 3 shows on his boat. It was a blast to be in Kingston there. And it's always a pleasure speaking with him. And he's been a fan for about the same amount of time that I've been a fan of his. I like that he just speaks what he thinks. And I like all the history that's associated with what he says, right? So he
seems like a very smart man, lots of talent.
Smokes a lot of cigars.
It's always in his hand.
We had a few on the boat, which was good. But anybody else that you know, or just from John?
Just like, you know, people sharing stuff. I'm in a few different Instagrams of different construction companies I follow. And, you know, you come up.
I show up everywhere.
You do.
I guess something like Waldo or something like that, right? It just comes up. Jen's here from The Last Team Past. We're going to talk a little bit about a bunch of stuff.
Bunch of stuff.
You've got some construction background, but now you're dealing with hardware and antiques, and
yeah,
which is connected to construction.
It's all construction. I've had a bit of an interesting journey, I'd say, and was in telecom utilities, civil construction side of it before. Changed a little bit during COVID, and now I get to focus a little bit more on the passion, which is the antiques and salvage and hardware and who knows what else.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Let me do a quick shout out. I'm wearing Northern Snow. It's Northern Snow. It's Stefano. Up in actually Thunder Bay. He knows what he's doing. He's been on this show. Good kid. Smart kid. He's in his 20s and he's doing really well. He's got like 40 plus Kubota snowblowers, and he's also doing yard work as well too. And I love what he's doing. And smart, smart kid. He's just planning the digital age. That's
seems
what I like
about. Awesome for 20s.
And then he gave me a cap. A lot of people give me stuff. Speaking of which, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honestly, thank you for giving me this. I want to read it. I know you. It's a bunch of Arthurs that shared stories here. You're one of them, which is great. And this was recently done?
It came out 2023, I believe, or, oh gosh, timelines. 2022, the end of 2022, started 2023. It was just around the time that the mandates were kind of coming down, but most of our stories were written before the mandates were lifted.
Okay.
A lot of the stories in there are about people's journeys from during the mandates and what their journey to sovereignty and their path. And I'm in there, chapter 3, and a little bit about what I went through. And I guess, yeah, I would have finished writing that in 2022, so that's 3 years now.
It's going by fast.
It is. Sure is.
And my biggest gripe is, as I said on the show several times, I am never going to forget the fucking shit that happened.
You can't. You can't. It's mind-blowing.
I'm
going to
be an elephant
still
for the rest of my life. I don't care.
It's mind-blowing. Like, I don't understand how even...
Quick to forget, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You almost want to smack them.
I...
But I'm not going to get violent. And I want to thank you for these little gifts.
Thank you.
These are great. I'm going to I'm keeping one. I don't care.
Awesome.
And thank you so much, because I'm going to give the other ones away at the event. And perfect. I really appreciate you doing that, because I want to read the rest of them. And awesome. You wrote these.
I did. And
around the same time?
No, those are more of in the past year and a half, a little bit more of a passion project, trying to get off the ground with some other friends surrounding mental health and changing your life to be more along your aligned with what you really desire to do, rather than feeling like you're trapped to a system, which is also kind of tied into a lot of the values in the book.
So I know it's not like directly related to construction, but it's directly related to people. And I like talking to people. So that's awesome. The general sense of it. And we'll get into antiques. We'll get into hardware. We'll get everything at that. But I know that when I was scrolling through your feed, you lost a puppy recently.
I did. My girl.
And I don't mean to bring it up if it's such as it's still, because I love puppies more than I like humans. That's just who I am. What was her name?
Chloe.
Chloe.
She was my world. Had her from 20, when I was 23 years old, I think I got her, right from 7 weeks. And, like, just the best. Like, wild, wild girl.
What
just
breed again is?
Boxer and Catahoula Leopard dog mix. So she was a very...
She doesn't look boxer at all.
A little bit. Like, her quirkiness was for sure.
Okay,
she's
yeah.
Like, climbing fences and just, like, crazy athlete her whole life. But, like, the personality of, like, she was fierce as hell. Like, talk back all the time. And then in her senior days, oh, my gosh, just the sweetest girl.
She's still adorable with the grays on it. Yeah, I know.
So adorable. And it was funny, like, the whole time with her, like, she everybody knew that she, like... I cared about her more than anything else, for sure. And my dream was always to be able to spend more time with her, obviously. And then so magically, when COVID hit and I was put on leave, unpaid, and I was at home all alone, like, her and I got to go for walks every single day. And it was, like, it was just the best. And then I started doing a little bit more contract work back to work, and I got to bring her in the car. She was just, she went in the field with me, and she was in her bed in the back, and it was the best.
Throw a two-belt on her. Get her to pull some wire, yeah. I guess, or something like that.
So she lived till 16. Just after her 16th birthday, I had to put her down just because her whole back end was going. She had a stroke at one point, and she pulled through from that, lasted another 2.5 years, I think, after that.
Similar to one of mine. She had a stroke at 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was really weird.
Oh, scary.
Like the whole eye...
Oh, yeah.
Balance and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She couldn't keep her head up. Like, she kept, like, dipping, and she couldn't walk for a couple of days. Actually, it was about a week before she.
But mine, and as yours, it probably recovered well and then came back. And
She's determined. She wanted to go outside, and you see a squirrel. She's chasing the squirrels. But yeah, she loved nature. We were in the forest every day.
So. Good. So I just wanted to talk about that because I kind of look through the scroll just to get a sense of what we were going to talk about and stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, I like dogs more than people. It's just how I am. So
I hear you.
Even though they don't communicate verbally.
Oh yeah. So now I dog sit. So I get paid to look after dogs. It's
how is that? I'm curious because everyone always asks me about when you're going to get another dog. Cause I had two and they both went 6 months apart. Right.
Oh, that's sad.
And they were brother and sister. It's just, and that was tough. So then, and that's like 7 years now.
Wow. And you've gone 7 years with that one. I
try to do a stupid thing. I try to go to the shelter to volunteer to walk. They didn't, like, we don't do that. That's what they were telling me. That's don't do that here.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess they have paid people, but.
I don't know. I just figured that they would have some pets, like some dogs there that would want some attention and take them out for a walk or something. I don't know. But they just.
Have you been to the Dog Tails? Is that what it is? Have you been to that one?
No, was a different one. I can't remember where it was. One in Mississauga area because that's my area.
Yeah.
And they just rejected me. So I don't know. Because I thought I could do that. I wasn't ready to get. I'm still not ready to get another one. I thought I could do that. And it was just rejected.
I can't remember if Dog Tails does or not, but I went, I did the same, like when Chloe passed, I was like, I just need to see dogs. So my friend and I went to Dog Tails, which is just outside of Newmarket. And like, it's a beautiful property. I think they have a fairly good life there, but there's some, you can see their arrival date they have posted on their thing. And then you see that they've been there for 5 years or 6 years. And there's all sorts of ages. There's young ones, some that are like, you know, they're 15-year-old dogs and they're in a shelter, but not many people want to adopt them, but it's sad. It's sad to see.
It is. It's sad. But
yeah, the dog sitting is just like, I don't know.
Keeps you busy?
Blows my mind that I get to get paid to look after these dogs. And, you know, some are easier than others. Some are.
Which are the most difficult breed to deal with?
Little ones, of course.
The little yappers?
Little ones, yeah.
I'm not a little yapper guy.
No.
I had a female lab and a male Weimaraner.
Oh, that's cute. Weimaraners are nice, too.
Yeah, he loves anything hot. Like, he just. Pampered. Yeah. He needs to always be hot, right?
Yeah, that was
Chloe
too. Hated
going outside in the winter.
Yeah.
She loved going outside in the winter.
Chloe was a, like, baking the sun right on the pavement, just panting like crazy.
Or he'd be sitting right in front of the fireplace.
Yeah, yeah.
With, like,
oh, yeah.
Little flint going right up on his stomach.
Actually, you'll like this story. I had a sauna at one point in my house, and you could turn on the sauna, and you wouldn't, like, you don't tell her we're going in the sauna, but then she would smell it, and she'd go wait down there by it. Or other times, I guess if she was cold or really wanted to go in it, she'd go down there and stand in front of it and cry.
Can't let her in.
Really? She loved it.
She loved it in there?
Loved it. Yeah.
But she'd be panting, like she'd be...
Well, she took a while to get to that point. Like, she had no fur, because the catahoulas are pretty, like, they're pretty bare.
Yeah, short fur. Yeah.
They're from, like, Louisiana or something like that, so... She loved the heat.
In there?
Loved the heat.
Mine probably would have loved it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get your dog a sauna.
So, okay, when did you start the telecommunications thing?
What year are we talking about? Right here? When I got Chloe. So 20, I got the job at Bell when I was like 20, 22 or 23 years old, and then I got Chloe 4 months after that. So, yeah, so that was a long time ago. So I started out drawing the plans for the civil construction of it.
Okay.
Which I didn't go to school for. I went to school for marketing and advertising, so it was new, but...
So how do you get from marketing and advertising to running cable for communications, civilly speaking, like...
I think at the time there were 6 of us that got hired at the same time, and it was all for the drawing of the plans. And so I remember going for the interview. I had no idea what the job was, because that's something you don't think about. Like, what? So then ended up getting the job, and it was a pretty good training. Like, I want to say 6 months in and out of, like, hardcore learning and then little bits stepping into the job. And then so I did that for 2.5 years, I think, and then moved on to, like, the next step, which was the engineer who provided the drawings to the people making the plans. So the engineer gets to go out in the field and you know, figure out where we're civilly placing the cables, and whether it's on a pole or in the ground, and, you know, drilling, trenching, pole line construction.
You're fully responsible for all of that? The crew and everything?
Not the crew at that point. That's more what I do now. But at that point was the design of it, like figuring out what's the best plan of attack, cheapest possible.
New infrastructure, so new
divisions? New and rearranging. So the rearranging is even more challenging.
What do you mean,
so,
like rearranging, like so upgrading?
Say there's a new road, or like the road's changing, like adding turning circles or new bridges.
Okay.
So it'd be the job that would be the one who has to take the actual, like, civil engineer road plans and figure out what's in conflict right now, and then where you can go that's going to be out of the way. So it was a very fascinating job. Loved it, actually. Like, dream job, because I got to be just in the car by myself, listening to tunes, out in the
outdoors.
Nice outside, yeah. And the weather. It was beautiful. So I did that for...
For how many years?
13, 15.
That's a good run.
Yeah, it was great.
And then we'll just kind of fast forward over some bullshit.
Some bullshit happened, and then dream come true.
Read the book, and you might find out some of the bullshit, which is fine.
Then I had no job, and it was great, and got to start kind of whole career path over again. But I also had a lot of knowledge from all that, so now I do a little bit of contract work in the same industry, more responsible for construction scheduling, running the crews, making sure everybody's working, finding roadblocks.
So you're still doing that?
Still doing that. Yeah.
Okay. And then the antiques? That kind of just was a passion of yours the whole time?
Yeah, passion since... when I was young, my mom and I and my brother would go to garage sales, obviously, because that's something to do as a kid.
Because people... keep stuff.
Keep stuff, and you find treasures. And then I just got hooked on the treasure hunt, and then just kept going from there. It's a great time. Still a great time.
What's the best thing you ever found?
Oh, it's such a hard question.
I know.
Such a hard question. I've got a lot of favorites, for sure.
Like, someone came in here, one of the girls from the front there, she's like, what's your favorite movie? I was like, that's not a question you answer.
You can't.
So it's probably the same thing. It's not a question you answer.
Like, I'm sure.
Okay, what's one of the best things that you ever found?
Oh, God, one of the best things. Well, there's like the best is like what's the most valuable, or like my favorite, or
I would say your favorite. Like, what is the one?
Some books. I'm a big book person. Like
old school,
old books. Yeah,
leather bound kind of
leather bounds, or just like really interesting topics that are, you know, maybe things.
Any
that,
interesting writings inside the book? Like any
absolutely,
scribbles?
Yeah. And then there's like the whole like you can go down a whole hole of manuscripts and things that are just books filled with writing and thoughts, and whether it's something that got turned into something more formally published later, or if it's, you know, like you don't know at that point, you could have the only copy or the only writing of that. Like, I've got this one, it's like a genealogy book. It's literally like that fat. I think it's from 1890s or so, maybe even older, 1860s.
You found that at a garage sale?
Auction.
At an auction.
Auctions are fun. Yeah, you can have a lot of fun at auctions.
And so what is it? I'm just assuming it's like the grandparents or the parents maybe passed on.
I think this guy was
I
don't know if he was a priest or pastor. I don't know a whole lot of specifics about religion and the positions and stuff, but something to do with whether it was people that were passing or people that he came across. I don't know, really. It's hard to read old writing. Like, you've seen what it looks like, right? Like, it's fine. It's...
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind Aquastop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, Aquastop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and Aquastop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with Aquastop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. But I just figure it's like the offspring. The kids are just getting rid of it because they don't
want
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, that's still, like, that'll blow your mind even.
That part I don't understand.
No, there's so many, but... So this is where it ties into some of the other stuff I've studied about, like the mind and how, like, people are just so overwhelmed when their parents die or even when they're getting old, and they end up just liquidating stuff, and nobody has the capacity to go through it.
Get it.
It's crazy.
So I don't get it.
Yeah. Another friend of mine and I are actually, we really want to get into more clearing out estates. So we've done a couple, and, because we have energy and we like picking through stuff. So we started that too.
So that's an actual thing? Like, people are inviting you in and you take care of this? We don't want to deal with it?
Yeah. Well, the one situation, like, the only close relative didn't live in Canada. So the brother had gotten contact, I guess, with the landlord or the property managers, and they needed someone to clear out the property. And nope, like, he didn't have the ability to come and get the stuff himself, and so someone's got to go through it, pick out the stuff that is maybe needed paper wise for settling the estate, but then, like, there might be valuables you don't know, like,
just they don't care though.
Don't know, because this guy didn't have anyone close with them, and yeah, they don't care, or they trusted us to identify what was there and try and liquidate it. You know, it's a lot of work though. Like, we filled a...
Are they expecting to kind of liquidate it to find some sort of wealth in some of these items?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, some people, like, it all depends on the mindset of the person. Like, say it's the kids and they're not very well off, and so they're, like, you know, thinking, my parents have all this stuff that's worth all this money, and then you go and you look and you're like, this is a lot of garbage. By the time you pay us to remove the garbage, like, the stuff of value, like, it barely covers that. And in fact, we might even, like, there's different ways you can liquidate an estate. Like, you can have an auction, you can have an estate sale, you can sell things individually, but that just takes so much time. So
is it like the items themselves and also furnishings and
everything? Because again, like, so say it's a 90-year-old person, like, their kids might be already in their late 60s, 70s, they don't necessarily have the energy and capacity to clear out a whole house.
Or they want it. And then you try to give it to their kids, and the kids are like, who?
Yeah, they're like, what?
Is it a check?
Is there a computer?
Cash? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a
family
lot.
Family history is what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy how people, like, there's a lot who just aren't interested in old stuff. Even the furniture. Furniture has gone down so much in value. Since, like, say 80s, 90s, and John would see it too, like, beautiful hardwood furniture, stuff that is so well made, you know, you could throw it down the stairs and it's probably going to survive, but you can't move an IKEA dresser, and it's like...
Yeah, I guess past the 80s, you start getting into, like, leather pastel couches from the 80s, Miami Vice era,
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want that. The only thing that wants is a match. That's all that wants.
It's true. But then there's, you know, there's characters out there now who want weird 80s stuff.
Really?
There's a lot
Glass
of stuff.
Block?
There's a lot of stuff that I would really? Say I don't want that. I would never want that in my house.
I think but that's then like the worst era.
I know.
Listen, I watched it. I lived through it. I'm an 80s kid.
Yeah.
I thought it sucked. The pastel colors and furnishings and the pink pleathers or whatever it was.
I know.
I hate it.
But there's different people. And
there's people who like that shit?
I think so. I've seen, yeah. Yeah.
Before it was great. Up to the end, even the 70s.
Yeah.
I'd even take a disco floor. You know what I mean? If you got a disco floor?
Yeah. So one of the things, too, that I love to do is find like the salvageable... like the man's shop, like the old guy's shop filled with whatever treasures he has in there.
Cause you would have old school drills. You'd have
drills, which is yeah. Like the, all that, like, well, the chisels are still usable. Obviously.
Yeah. Of course you sharpen them.
Drills are more collectible. But then like all his hardware or like cool wood, like there's endless treasures.
It'd be samples of wood, things like that. Or even projects that he may have started
Yeah. One time I bought a toolbox thinking it was just like some you know, a couple of screwdrivers or things that would still be usable. And then it turned out it had been, I guess, the box that they cleared off his actual workbench. And all the things that he had on his pegboard, little cool collectibles that he like wired up individually and was on his like, I don't know, like... You'd call it like the altar, right? Like it's his space. This is his desk, his workbench, and so basically all his favorite little treasures were in the bottom of this toolbox that I paid $2 for, and it was so many cool things. I can't
remember. Little figurines
or you know, back in the day, like you can even find like a cool tape measure that's like just a random one off that's way higher quality than anything you've ever seen, or just.
And people just discard and not think anything of it.
And it depends how thorough someone's looked through the box or like how the mind of the person who packed the box and like what they're aware of. It's all fun.
I always wanted to do that in construction. Like I always want to leave little things behind the wall. Yeah. Like just bury it. So maybe 100 years from now, someone finds it when they're demolishing it.
Actually, we did that once. In I think it was a highway on ramp. There was a manhole or something that ended up with the grade changes, was going to have to be completely buried just temporarily, though, or something. So I think it was maybe only going to be 5 or 6 years. So
before someone would come back to it?
Before it was going to be able to be unburied after the new on-ramp and off-ramp.
What did you leave there?
I can't remember, but some of the guys in the office definitely put in some things and joking about the time capsule.
I would mess with it. I would do something, kind of predict something and just put it there.
Yeah. Well, there's all these old, it's funny, like in the phone land too, like there's all these old wood manholes that used to exist. Like I can't remember what they call them, but like before.
Like the cover?
And the box.
Like, was made out of wood?
Out of wood. And we'd find them and they're so rotten and like just a disaster.
But how would they survive weather?
Wood would have been better back then, I guess. It's slower growth.
Denser, it would have been stronger. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always fascinating to find stuff like that when we're out and about.
And then you got to think like 100 years from now, what are they going to find?
Yeah. Yeah.
When they're clearing people's houses and stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be different.
Exactly. Wow. Well, so one of the, I have a newspaper that had an article about when like the phone lines first started getting built. So back in, and I think it was right from Barrie even, so it's kind of local and interesting. Yeah. And it talked about how they would build the lines when someone bought a phone. So like, because not everybody would have had a phone.
They did
back
it as
there.
Per yeah. client came
so
along.
You bought a phone, you live there. Okay, we'll start building lines to your house.
Yeah.
Oh, and then that guy did. Okay, we're going to go down that way.
Yeah.
So it's very different than now. And
then they turned that into a monopoly.
Yep. And then,
then they made it into a monopoly for three, basically what they did.
Yeah.
Welcome to Canada.
Yeah. You know, keeping up with the desire and the demand, and it's the same as now, you know, like people wanted a phone because it was cool and you could talk to each other. It's great. Okay. So then the company, whoever it is, like it's their baby, it's their heart who thought of, okay, well, yeah, we can do this. We can connect you all. And then they're building from their hearts, and it's a good company, and, you know, they're trying to do a good thing. And then they just grew too fast because everybody wanted a phone. And then obviously once internet came along, same sort of thing. Then it just grew so fast that as a company, I don't think they could properly keep up.
Or they didn't plan for it anyway, right? Didn't plan
for it, no.
So then, and then all of a sudden, now it's all obsolete now. It's just one cable, I guess. Yes, no?
So there is still copper everywhere. Like a lot of most downtowns of cities would still be copper fed.
And still operational? They're still really piggybacking off of that still?
Yeah. And then fiber.
In today's day and age, they're not doing fiber optic or something?
Yeah, but you'd have to overlay it all. So that is part of like how, like there's a big government project now that's getting internet to all the rules. I think the goal was like 90-95% of all of Ontario by 2030 or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things happening.
Like $8 billion or something that they've been putting, which I don't even think will cover it. But
what is this, all monopoly money?
Yes. But to like the whole scope of overlaying every road, every home, like it's unreal. It's insane.
Well, Toronto's a shit show. Whenever I go down to Toronto and I see all the hydro lines above ground, I'm just like, you guys could have done this differently if you wanted to.
Nobody planned. Yeah, nobody planned.
But you really didn't want to. You didn't care. Because now you make too much money by covering it up to protect it, to build here, to renovate this house and then this house and this house.
The construction of it is expensive, but like, yeah, it's...
But they probably
and there's no space too.
Yeah, they factored in that it was going to make them more money if we didn't do it.
Yeah, maybe
in
the
long term.
Yeah,
that's the only logic I see.
Well, there's no like the ground is very full. It's filled with everything. There's with gas. There's the storm sewer. There's the water pipe.
Yeah, you got like, waste and clean.
It's busy down there. Have you seen some of those drawings? It's crazy.
I can imagine, but it's still like go a little bit deeper and then just run a whole new line or something for everyone just get along. I mean, wire wise,
that would have been better.
That would have been great. Yeah. So now you just everyone lines it all up and here, man, that's what I used to do on a job site. I'd be on a construction site, bring in the mechanicals. Everyone talk. Okay, so HVAC, you're first because you have the biggest pipe.
Yeah,
electrical, you're last because you have the smallest pipe, so you can go around everybody else.
Logic. Yeah,
and then that's what we did. We should have did that with all the infrastructure.
The subdivisions now do that. Like it's all
it's
all joint trench pretty well.
Toronto's just a shit show.
Any of the old stuff, like I don't really know what the best way would be to go back and fix it all.
You got the corruption with the 5G towers everywhere, and you got certain mayors saying, "No, we're going to get rid of that." But hang on, we're being paid to not get rid of it, so we're going to leave.
People want it though, and then they freak out when there's no service. Yeah, and we like obviously with that storm up our way.
That was crazy.
And so everybody's power was out, and the fiber lines don't work on power when there's no power. So then the towers were all overloaded, and so we didn't even have internet on our phones. Like the data wasn't working because it was just so overloaded.
Wow.
Yeah, so like that, and that's the thing with the fiber too. Like
I went up there, I saw all the trees, all the damage. I was like, this is insane.
It's unreal. Like my house, there's a lot of trees that fell into it. I didn't have any really big trees on my yard that are down. One hole through my garage roof wasn't too bad. But I have a friend who had like four or five holes through his house roof, and then literally the whole forest floor is like 4 feet of just limbs.
So what was it? Limbs. Just like a flash freezing rain or something?
Yeah, it froze, and then I guess has something to do with how the sap was running too at that time. So all the branches weren't like hydrated because the sap was all...
And so the weight of the ice?
And then the weight of the ice. So it was a lot of maples really got killed, and then pines and cedars pretty destroyed too.
And that would have been like right before tapping the trees.
It was during it, yeah. It was during it, yeah. So they just destroyed, like, and birches, same, because their sap is running, too.
Same idea, yeah. But those would have been clusters, so, yeah, you would have just broken all the branches.
Yeah, destroyed completely. And my mom has a giant pine tree in their yard, and every limb, both sides, like, all the way around, just gone. And it's just a trunk just standing there.
And then it was warm the few days later.
Yeah, like, it got pretty... Well, I can't remember.
Was it like a week later?
I don't know. We just spent so much time cleaning up all the brush.
I know, but when I went up there, I think it was 2 or 3 days after it happened, and I was like, why is it so warm?
Yeah, the ice is gone.
And why do you have all these branches everywhere on the road and everything? And then they explained it to me, and then I looked it up, because I don't look at media. Yeah. And I was like going, what? What just happened here?
It was like an apocalypse for some of the sections.
That's
like
what you're saying
I
to
went
me.
Out to check my parents' house, and it was like all of the hydro lines were down, like the services were down on the road. And so the road was emergency closed. There was like just insane amount of trees down everywhere. So it was worse than a tornado, because a tornado would be like just a path, right? Whereas this, everywhere, just mass destruction. So sad. So we're still cleaning up for sure. Yeah.
But you got service up there, or
my power was only out for 2 days. Some people were a week.
Yeah, he was on a generator for a few days. Yeah.
There was a lot of people over a week. Which means they lost all their freezer food, unless you had a generator.
Kind of makes sense to have a generator up there, no?
Yeah, I think everybody should have a generator.
Don't worry, the government's going to get rid of that.
It's fine. It's going to be fine.
It's fine. Consider Expert Plumbing and Drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Boland and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly, to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes, it's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I want to go back to the antique.
Yeah.
Is there something that you want to find that you haven't found yet, but you've seen, and it's like the Holy Grail? It could be the Holy Grail, but is it the Holy Grail of what you're looking for, antique-wise?
I've never really thought about that question.
There isn't one thing that...
No.
There's a few pages that I follow out of New York, you know, they show these little shops and they're like, oh, these are from 1930 and they were used in this building. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. You only have two. They're going to go fast.
Yeah.
And I don't even bother asking what the price is.
Well, like I really love anything that's made of metal or wood for sure. So
old school stuff.
Old school stuff. That's some of the stuff that they used to make out of metal, whether it's bronze or brass, like it's just
handcrafted.
Cannot make it today. And if you did, it would be, well, you can make it, but it's going to be a fortune. And
it'd be on a container from China.
Yeah. And you never, it's probably still made by a machine, like to actually handcraft it. I don't know. There's so many treasures, but I do love the architectural pieces.
The details.
Yeah. The details, whether it's pieces of trim or railings or tin ceiling tiles.
Oh,
all the fun.
I love tin ceiling. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's been done correctly in new construction.
No, and there's a lot of plastic ones. There's foam ones. Some of the foam ones look pretty good.
No.
I don't know, I'm stretching it.
I bet you I'd be able to tell.
Yeah.
I can tell the difference between a tin and
tins.
A foam or a knockoff. Like even the sticker. I seen a sticker one time.
Yeah.
I just looked at them and I was like, dude, get away from me. I just don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, the plastic ones are terrible. They're so like shine. The shine.
Especially when natural daylight touches it or something, like it kind of cascades on it. You're like, that's not metal.
I had tin ceiling tile as my backsplash for a long time, for about 10 years. I just took it down because it just did a reno and sat
copper
late.
Or no, it was...
What it would be. Like a thin steel, is it? I don't know.
It would be stainless steel?
I don't know. It rusts, so it can't like...
No, it's not stainless steel then.
No.
So it would have been just regular tin, regular metal.
Yeah, but the patina on it, like it's like almost like... purpley gray, and then there's some greenish in it. So I don't know what kind
of... So what would have caused that? Just oxidization kind of?
I guess so.
Elements?
Must have been. But I don't know where it came from. And then I spent, I want to say...
How many square feet did you find?
So these ones I bought from an antique store. like per panel. I was specifically doing my backsplash at that time, and they had paint on them. And I spent like 40 hours clearing the paint off these stupid things.
By hand?
Or you have you ever heard of the product Peel Away?
No.
It's pretty good. So I guess it's more used for things where you can't use an abrasive scrubber.
Because you're going to scratch the hell out of it.
So what you do is you paste on the remover stuff. And then
it just eats away?
Well, then you put on like a paper that comes with it. But I used butcher paper for my extra pieces where I ran out of the paper. And then you leave it on, I think, for 48 hours. And then you literally take the paper off
and it peels away.
It's everything, great.
Even the little crevices?
It didn't, like, I want to say, like, these ceiling tiles probably had 10, 12 layers of paint, and it's sometimes leaded paint, too, so you don't want to use heat gun.
No.
And so it is good, but I think I had to do 2 or 3 rounds, and then even still in the end, there's some that you end up having to scratch off.
What was the thickness of the metal, the tin?
It's thin.
Yeah,
but then, like, with the embossing of it, there's, you know, a little bit of depth to it. It's beautiful.
I just like the way it looks, right?
Especially when it's the bare metal. I love it. So sadly, with my new Reno, I had like the backsplash was up like the 3 inches or whatever on the old backsplash. And then I did a granite.
Well, you mean just the stone is kind of.
Well, the granite's flat, whereas like the old laminate went up.
Yeah, yeah.
So now my tin is 3 inches out, so I can't use it.
And you could build a wall on.
I've been staring at it, and I'm like, wow, what do I do?
It wouldn't be 3 inches. It'd be an inch and a half, wouldn't it?
Well, the old...
Yeah, the height of it is the back. The old school ones, the melamine ones, right?
Yeah.
You can cut that off.
No? Well, so got rid of it. And then,
You did a stone.
Stone, yeah. So then my old backsplash is missing the gap there, so I'd need to do, like, a trim. So then I had more tin ceiling. Oh, wait,
you did the tin after you did the...
I did the tin, like, before.
Before.
Yeah. And then so what I did, I have more tin ceiling tile stashed. Of course I do. And I trimmed off the bottom of like these long crown molding strips to see if it would look right to fill the 3.
Did it?
No, it doesn't look right. Because a backsplash should be all the same, right? Like a pattern. I have trim.
So you had the crown too? The crown tin?
I've got some tin crowns stashed.
How do you cut? You cutting that with a tin snips?
So I have
you can't cut it with a.
I had to use tin snips because
you can't use a saw.
So my cousin recommended like a diamond blade grinder. I couldn't get the tin like tight enough to the table to hold it. My arms are dying.
It would get caught and then pulled.
Yeah, and then
the grinder would have been the best bet.
That's what he thought too, but I just I'm a little bit scared of power tools. I use some, but.
I'm trying to think of
tin snips, and so it was tough. But
the tin snips would actually create a little bit of
like
a curve or something like that.
Well, there's like I've learned this from tin ceiling tile. Like there's left cut, right cut.
Well, there's center, like there's center. Right, left. Yeah,
so I have all three apparently.
You just don't know which is which.
I don't know. Which is which.
You have to do a test to figure out. It's going right. It's going left. Yeah. It's going center.
Exactly. Yeah, and then so my cut, it's not that good.
I would have done. I'm trying to think of it. I would have done the grinder.
I tried it. I don't know. I only tried for a second to secure it. And maybe even do a full line of tape, and then cut on the tape. No, because then it would gum it up. I don't know.
I would have taken maybe. I don't know. I'm just because I haven't done this yet. I would have taken some foam.
Okay.
Put it underneath.
Okay.
Clamped
Hold
it.
Hold it tight. Yeah.
And then cut it with the grinder, because then if you start applying pressure to the tin, to the foam, it's just going to depress into the foam.
Yeah, that probably would have helped.
And kind of impressed
it. Because, it was bouncing as I tried to. I mean. And then I tried to clamp it down, but then I was going to squish it. And, it was not ideal.
So you went with the tin snips then?
I cut just 1 4-foot stretch to C. And it still didn't work. Yeah, so I wasted that piece. But
so what's the resolution here?
Now I got some leaded glass up there looking at it, thinking maybe. I don't know.
Nobody does that in Canada.
The leaded glass?
The leaded glass and the stained glass. And I don't know anybody who does it in Canada.
Well, again, because they stash salvage supplies, I had picked up all these, like they're like 10x4 individual panes, but old. Like they would have been, they're pretty old because it's like real lead and they're nice looking, but clear. So I've put those out to see, like, how's that going to look? And then I've got like...
Did it work?
Yeah, I think it's going to work. And then I've got other like clear, a bigger pane of a nice fancy stained glass. But it's all clear, like no colors to it. So I might do that.
But then you notice the lead more, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because right now the wall is white-ish, like off-white.
Is any of the glass irregular, like bubbled?
Yeah, like there's...
There's a name for it.
I don't know these things. There's some that's like,
know this.
There's like lines.
It's a style, the way they blew like, it or something. It creates these little circles in it.
Yeah. And it is a little bit blue. Like there's a tinge to it.
I'm trying to remember the stupid name. I can't remember.
I know John posted, I think it was one of his stories today. He was criticizing some of this glass that they put into an old door. And yeah, it didn't look right. Like,
yeah, he did one about a portal a boat window from his dad's boat one time.
Oh, yeah.
And he was highlighting the details in the glass and how it was blown. It
makes a difference.
I was like, dude, you sold me already. It's not done. Like, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So all the little details, right?
But most clients don't really want this, or do they want it, but they just can't afford it?
I don't think they know it exists, maybe, or their creative mind like can't put it together.
Do they think it's dirty? Like it's old.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Really?
People, oh, yeah. People are always like, the dirty stuff.
I'd smack now I'm like, if they say
cool.
That.
Thanks. I'll take it.
Yeah. You don't know any
Give me
better.
That dirty stuff. You don't.
It's like traditional. It's classic. It's timeless.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's There's not a, dirty.
Oh, you can clean it. Like, it's half the fun. Seeing something that's like filthy and then whether you strip off the old paint or clean up the wood, like that's where the fun is. You see what it can become, right?
What's the best way to clean metal? I guess it depends on the metal, what kind of metal it is.
Yeah. One thing that I learned recently was I guess a silver plate, but you can do it with silver also. All this time in my life I've been like scrubbing to clean
silver
with polish and, you know, and like little pads and whatnot. But what you do is you crumple up tinfoil, you put it in a dish.
I've seen that.
And then you put salt and baking soda and then hot water, and it just like magic. It's unreal. Like, it's mind blowing every time, especially after how many years I scrubbed stuff.
It works. It totally works. I know.
Yeah.
But then, like, where do you learn this? Where do you get these tips from? Like, how do you, you got to just try
it? Yeah, just try it. So now, like, you know, the more I'm in this industry and I try different things, and, you know, I buy like lots of, like, when I'm at an auction or something. Like I said, you buy the stuff in the shop, so you buy all the stain and all the stuff that he's got in there, and then you can try stuff, and it's not costing you $30 to buy a bottle of something that maybe you don't use. You know, it's the only way. You got to try things.
You ever come across old fireplace mantles, the old school English ones, the metal ones and stuff?
Like the
are they far and few kind of to find?
The mantles, like. Not
just
to the frame, yeah, yeah. I've hit maybe two I've had in my times, and there's the ones
that's old English stuff.
They're
old.
Small,
yeah, because the fireplaces were smaller.
Yeah,
people were smaller, people shorter. Were smaller. Everything was tinier back then.
Yeah. Stove doors too. I've found a couple, and one thing I did in my house actually, I did this what's it called, brick veneer wall.
Yep,
and then there was a electrical box that was kind of. Tacky.
Okay. Like a regular traditional
just
looking.
Like it was just a junction box, I guess. There's no switch or nothing in it. But me not knowing anything about electricity or whatever, I'm like, I think like I probably don't want to just drywall over this and leave it. So I cemented a tiny little stove door to it. So you open the stove door and then there's
how did you find like who would have made a tiny little stove door?
I don't know what it was like.
Out of metal?
It's cast iron. Like it's a heavy, like, maybe this big.
So what do you... So there's an actual receptacle in there?
Yeah. Like not a receptacle. Just,
Just an octagon, like
just
a box.
Just a box. Junction box.
But what do you put in there, then?
Nothing, but if somebody needs to access it, you just open a little stove
door. Oh, so the wire is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like that. Yeah. Even if there's a receptacle behind there.
You could do that, too. Yeah. So that's the stuff that I love to do now more. Is it really started to focus on...
Where you find that little stove door. Like, what would it be applied to?
Must have been...
You think like a door, like those little, what do you call them, the people?
Maybe for the ashes or something? No, it can't be. I don't know.
Like, no, it wouldn't
no,
be
No, the ones above. Yeah, like the fireplace would be low.
Oh, wait a minute. It could be the damper. It
yeah,
could be the
yeah,
damper
yeah.
door.
That's what it would be. Because it's only like that
yeah,
big.
And they were made out of cast. Yeah, they were made out of cast. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
and they would never crack or pan, like, and it would get dark from the soot.
Yeah.
But you can easily clean them.
Yeah.
That's actually really clever.
Super cool.
All the receptacles, you make them all little doors there.
If you can find that many.
You can find them. Or you try to cast it.
I think I bought four at once when I did get that. And
we broke houses that had them, and we're just like,
break it apart.
I know, salvage all of it, every little piece.
Trim, like baseboards.
I know, but the problem is that when you start finding all these things, you start collecting all these things. And then all of a sudden you need storage units for all these things. And then you're like wondering, okay, when's this ever going to be used one day? And then you start talking to clients and you're like, you guys are all stupid. You don't want to do any of this shit. So then you don't.
I know, it's hard. Like my clientele who buys from me regularly from my salvage store, they're very artistic people who, you know, like you got a guy who comes regularly just for lumber. Like, okay, I need a board that's going to be this big and, you know, this wide. What do you got? And then he'll look at the different options and what's, you know, the thickness he wants or whatever. And he looks at the, you know, the different salvage, like there's windows, there's like the little stove door, there's hooks, there's hinges, everything. Like just things that I see and I'm like, it's usable.
Back in the day when people built things or created things, they created things with creativity.
Yeah.
And they had purpose behind them and they still look aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Is it true that someone told me this years ago, there's some place where they park the old streetcars, Toronto streetcars?
I don't know about that.
And you can buy them for like some stupid amount, like $100 or something like that.
What?
The problem is you got to pick it up and transport it, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about the whole street car. The old, you remember the old ones with the wood seats in it?
Yeah.
Those old, ugly looking round things.
That's amazing.
Someone told me about this. Like there's a yard somewhere, you know, like in America, they have the airplane graveyards.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that all these old school TTC streetcars are there.
Yeah.
And you can buy them for next to nothing, but you have to transport them.
That's cool.
Which is like you literally got to get a mobile crane, put it on a flatbed, and then transport
it to wherever you are. Which costs a lot, but then...
But then what you get out of it, all the benches, all the everything, all the little knickknacks.
A little cool little room. There's a place out in, I think it's like, I guess it'd be considered Creemore in the hills there. Mm. They had a railway car as a Airbnb. You just...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you could do that. You could make it into an investment.
And the old street cars would probably be a lot cleaner than the ones today.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely the wood, the cool.
The wood, I don't even know what kind of wood they would have been using back then for the benches.
Pine, maybe.
You think pine?
I don't know.
Canada?
I don't know.
What they would have been, were they made by Bombardier or?
I don't know these things.
So you got to think about Quebec. Quebec uses what kind of wood in Quebec? Maple? No, it wouldn't have been maple.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out what they, because you got to think about, okay, so. Long, long time ago, Christopher Columbus comes along and then they don't build stones from Europe anymore.
Yeah.
They knock down all the trees and build everything out of wood. And all of a sudden, we've got a wood industry, right?
Yeah.
So it's like in Quebec, you would have built these things. How would you have built them? What kind of wood would you have used? What was the abundance of wood in Quebec back then?
I don't know. I come across all sorts of different, like, old lumber supplies. Like, that's the best part, too.
Just a collection of lumber?
Well, it's another guy who stashed his wood that he might use one day, right?
But it's been stashed for like how long? Like for decades and
you
shit?
You never know.
These people must be characters though, right?
Yeah, and you can tell.
Are you hearing the banjo? Or like it's like what's going on there?
Well, most often you don't get to meet them. Sometimes they're dead. Sometimes you're buying, and then you
But their kin must have taken it over, and he's probably missing as many teeth as his dad. Like, I don't look.
You don't always see them, because I think some.
And I'm not trying to offend anybody that's listening. I'm like saying you guys are not backwoods hillbillies or anything like that in Canada. I'm not saying that. You're perfectly nice people for collecting and keeping all these things that I want you to do. Exactly. That's important. Okay. Yeah.
No, but you can kind of get a read on the character of the people who and like what they have in the whole estate. And but yeah, it's fascinating. It's great.
You know what I miss? I miss all the convenience store little Coca-Cola. Is that a thing still? Do people still have them?
You can definitely find Coca-Cola collections. But then what happens is it's like some guy, again, who's collected Coca-Cola forever. So then an auction will be just filled with it, like hundreds of things. And like, then it goes for super low because you might want one thing of it or two. Like, nobody wants all of it.
And then how many, do a lot of people go to the auctions? Like, is it full?
Well, live auctions used to be the best. They did, before COVID, they, like across Ontario, there'd be 20 on a Saturday. For sure.
Really?
And then you get to pick which one you want to go.
What are you
to.
Like bidding? Like, what do they start at for some of these things? Like, next to nothing?
Yeah, well, it depends. The auction, different auctioneers are more patient. Some of them are pretty firm and they'll start really high. And then they take. So, have you ever been to a lineup?
No. Oh, I want to.
They're so fun.
Like, they're are they?
Yeah, so it's like the shows, right? Like, there's a guy up there, and the character of the auctioneer makes a big difference of how much you enjoy the auction, for sure, and his skills and how fast he goes. Because if you go regularly, you get annoyed if he's slow. Because you're like, no.
Get to the point.
Get through this stuff. Yeah. Nobody's bidding. Yeah. Get lower. So they'll start at like $30, and if nobody's bidding, nobody's bidding. It goes down and down and down until somebody's like, okay, yeah, I'll take it for $10. And then you might go back up to like $150, but nobody was saying yes at $30. So that takes time, and even the crowd, it depends on what they're doing to make it move forward too. You know, you can have strategy by being aggressive and saying right at that 30, yeah, I'll take it. Or then you get the crazy people right off the bat, they're like, no, 100.
You ever fuck around with the crowd and just like start just bidding
them up,
knowing that you don't want it, but
I
you just want to piss somebody else off?
I'm not that kind of person. No? You see that.
I can see people doing that.
You see that. You kind of look.
I know. But who wants that really?
Yeah, but there's a good, the crews that I've been around, we've all been doing it for 10, 20 years. So we know each other. And then you have people, you're like, well, I'm not going to bid them up, even though I really want that. And
yeah. Because someone's going to do it to me than when I want something.
Well, and you're like, do I need it? So then you let it go and you just wait for the stuff that you really want, or you know. And again, when you go to these live auctions, it depends whether you've paid attention to what there is, because you only have so much car space, you only have so much money to spend.
True.
You have to look through the boxes, you got to be on it.
It's always cash, right?
No, there's like, yeah, cards and stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Is there like you get an idea what they're being selling? Or?
Sometimes they'll do a few photos, but like my favorite is always the farm auctions where like it's
you just discover.
You have it's no idea what's there. And like the family might have been there for 60 years, might have been a couple of generations. There was one in, what year would that have been? 2019.
Okay.
And it was out Guelph direction, somewhere out there. From what I hear, it was like three generations who had been on this property, and the last living person had not touched the whole property for like 10 years.
Wow.
And there was a house and then like six giant garages and barns. Like, and I mean like 50 by 40, like massive.
Full of stuff?
Full of stuff. More lumber than you could ever imagine. I was so overwhelmed. Like, I remember seeing the preview. So they had 2 days. It was all the stuff in the house was going to be day one. All the garages and barns was day two. And so I had to take the day off because it was midweek. So I'm like, I'm going to go for the garage day. I'm not going to go for the house stuff because that's just kind of, I like it. There's more treasures, more fun. And especially some of these ones that haven't been touched forever. And so it was a long drive too. So an hour and a half, had Chloe. So I'm calculating, okay, I can only be gone for this many hours unless I get someone to go let her out or whatever. So originally I was like, I'm gonna rent a truck and I'm gonna go and I'm gonna make this worthwhile because I know there's enough stuff. Then pressure, you know, comes down to it. I'm like, nope, not gonna do the truck. I'm just gonna go. And I get there and I'm just like, oh my god, truck.
And there was a shitload of stuff.
It was insane. Like, insane.
You should have had the trunk.
I actually, like, it was, I can't even describe it.
Like, what was it? Just, like, lumber?
Every barn loft was filled with lumber. Like, I'll have to share some of the pictures
different
with you.
Kinds of lumber?
Different like, kinds of lumber that who just knows like, has
was
been
it raw stock lumber?
Raw stock.
Like over the years, just
over
just
the
kept?
Years. And, like, beautiful. So maybe he milled it from his...
Bang
his
on straight, too. It wasn't twisted.
Bang straight. Like, insane. And then there was all these half, like, I don't know, fallen down barns where then, you know, there's a toolbox that's got... beams half on it with a whole bunch of tools that were just left as if like that's I don't know when someone touched
time.
This
yeah it's frozen time there, yeah
and like I bought this cool wood organ just the keys and like a little bit of the frame and like the I don't know what they'd be called like the parts you pull out like 1800s sort of thing
okay
it was just in the corner in the barn and like you know it, you never know what you're gonna find. I think I got skis. I left with like I have a decent sized vehicle, an SUV. And I can strap stuff to the roof if I want. So I bought a bunch of stuff, a bunch of square nails. But I was so overwhelmed. I wanted to buy so many things. And then I was getting down to my Chloe time. I'm like, I got to go. But
was she hanging out with you? Was she going everywhere?
I would bring her sometimes.
Okay.
Because.
No, at the barn there when you were going through.
Oh, she stayed home that day.
Oh, okay.
I should have brought her because the car ride added into my time away. So I should have either brought her or had a babysitter.
So you got enough stuff there, but mostly wood, most little things, tools and things like that.
I can't remember what else I got. Totally. It's still worthwhile for sure. Like I didn't spend much money under 200, I want to say. And then just like the day is just so fun.
Is it really like when the family wants to get rid of all that stuff, is it really about making money off of this stuff or just getting rid of it?
Yeah. It's about getting it out.
I want it out of here.
Yeah. So much of it is like, especially if someone's passed away, you know, they got to get...
It's a headache.
You got to get this stuff out, whether they're renters or owners of the house. They want to get it sold. They want to get it listed. If it is a rental, like they're paying the rent until they get it cleared out. So they just want it out. And that's why, like, my friend and I are like, okay, yeah, we'll have this done in a week for you. And we did.
It's like a mission. So you guys this is it. You go in there, it's a mission.
Yeah, we just, like, we both looked at our schedulers and we're like, okay, we can do, like, 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock this day. We can do 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. this day. And we just went in hard and we worked our butts off.
And then do you start looking at this stuff and then you try to sell it to clients?
Yeah, there's different
categories. And they're a modern-day rental, right?
Exactly.
You guys can do this as a kind of a door accent kind of thing, right?
Exactly, yeah. I would love to do more of that personally, get into, because I do love a little bit of the renos and applying what I find into a house, but I've only been able to work on my house. I haven't really done it much for anyone else. And
but clients must be asking for it.
Yeah, I could, like, especially because it's hard to find a contractor to do stuff these days. And, you know, I've done enough now that I can do things. I can start doing this a little more for other people. I've been more of just the supplier.
But what do you prefer? Do you prefer the hunt? To find the things or to actually take the things and apply them into people's homes?
That's a tough question. I do like both. Depends on the day.
It seems like you get more satisfaction from finding it. It's like, holy shit, you start hearing the Indiana Jones music and all of a sudden I found this shit, right?
Yeah.
And then nobody else knows where it is. I'm the one that found it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if it's a good deal too. You get all excited like, oh, it's only $3. So fun.
Is there a lot of negotiating going on?
Oh, yeah. Anything used is always, it's never a firm price, right? Like, even if anyone sells on marketplace.
What are okay, do people have tells? Like, when you're talking to them and you're speaking to them and you're offering up first price and then they counter and then they have a tell on their face or something, do you have a tell? Or, like, you know what I mean? Is that kind of game? It becomes like a poker or something?
People more do it over email or the messaging, like, ahead of time.
Oh, no, you got to do it in person so then you can read the person.
No, but if the person's already there, then I'm holding my ground. You already came here. I'm not budging on the price.
This is my offer.
Yeah, you wouldn't have come here if you weren't already ready.
But then there's somebody else beside you that's going to probably offer maybe a little bit more than you.
Oh, you mean like that kind of sale?
Then you're pissed off,
right?
Then
you just got to know your stuff and pay. You got to pay the maximum pretty well if you want to get it.
I don't know if I can handle that shit. I'd be like, dude, I gave you a price. Shut up. Sell it. Here's the money. Take it.
Yeah.
Well, that person wants to give me twice that.
Yeah.
I don't care. That person doesn't exist in this world right now.
Exactly.
It's me and you right now.
How fast do you want it gone? Do you want it gone today?
That must be pretty exciting, though.
Oh, yeah. It's endless fun. Endless, really.
And then you got to take it home.
Yeah.
Organize it. Put it somewhere. Find a place for it.
Clean it up.
clean it up. We haven't even cleaned it up yet.
No, I've stopped buying a lot of, like, any furniture that needs refinishing. No, don't even touch it anymore.
It's too much work?
Too much work. And then you do it, and then nobody wants it. They want to buy it, and then they'll paint it. Like, I just spent...
Holy, really? Yeah. They'll paint it?
Yeah, I know. I never paint wood that is pretty well already wood.
Why do they want to paint it? Nice. Please tell me Chantilly lace. They paint it? Really? They want to paint it?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of people who love to paint. Paint nice wood.
Really beautiful wood that's got history and it's lasted this long and has never rot, never split, never nothing. You want to paint it?
I know. I never paint anything that's not already painted pretty well.
But even then, you could strip it and get back the wood.
Yeah.
Bare it.
Yeah, you could. It's a lot of work.
Then stain it, oil it.
Yeah.
Seal it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, though, especially if there's detail.
So much work. And like the hourly, you know, we want to make it hourly. You can't. It's hard to get that back unless you... Unless you got the piece for free, which you can.
No.
You can find furniture for free.
Someone would just get rid of it and that's it?
Yeah, well, there's tons of people.
But then you got to debate whether or not you want to maintain it and clean it, get to a point.
Yeah.
And then you got to factor in, okay, well, this is how much I got to sell it for.
That's why I don't touch, like, I don't buy furniture I have to refinish anymore. Or I'll buy it knowing it needs refinishing, and then I know I'm just going to sell it as is, and someone else can do it, because it's not worth it for me anymore.
At Royal Door and Trim Supplies Limited, they're not just delivering doors and trim, they're delivering possibilities. Proudly serving Toronto and the GTA with top quality interior doors and trim for every residential and commercial project. With 50 years of experience, expert craftsmanship, and a service that goes above and beyond, your space won't just look good, it'll feel exceptional. Visit royaldoor.ca, email them at sales@royaldoor.ca, or call them at 905-669-2954. Follow them on social at royal_door_LTD and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience reign at Royal. Royal Door and Trim Supplies, quality since 1975 and proudly Canadian. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I'm just trying to think of some cool things that there was. What was I watching recently? I saw something recently, and you remember those old unlocking door levers?
Yeah, like more like a fridge. Is that what you mean?
Not the fridge. It was done for unlocking your front door to come into your dwelling. They would almost be like a mechanical lever that unlocks the door from the upstairs.
Oh,
I saw it somewhere recently, and I was like, you saw that kind of...
Like from Europe or something, or is it here?
Sorry?
Is it from Europe, or is it...
No, American, old school American town, and it was just like, it's like a lever that unlocks the front door.
That sounds amazing.
You're at the second floor, and you can do it from the second floor. So all it is just a mechanical... It's no different than old school cast iron bathtub.
Yeah.
How... The drain on the bottom is connected to the actual overflow, and you turn it, and it's just a mechanical. All it is just pushing the brass. It's pulling it.
I've never seen
one. It's the same thing, but it's a direct line down the stairs right to the door, and it unlocks it. So you use this mechanical lever to unlock it.
That sounds so cool.
And I think that's kind of cool, where you can probably put that in a house somewhere and you do something similar with it, right?
I would love something like that. Anything cool like that. All the old architecture.
But that's how they used to design shit. Like, it was all mechanically
functioning. Or like the old, I don't know what they're called, the window. Like
the sash?
Yeah, the bar that would go up. And
the counterbalance and everything. Yeah,
so cool.
I love all that
I've seen that a few times in auctions, like the hardware for it.
What I like is some of the modern day window companies are trying to do replicas of
it. They are nice.
Are kind of nice.
Yeah.
But they're not paint shut and you got to fucking fight to get it open.
Yeah, expensive too.
Very expensive, and the glass is very rattly.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also has the putty.
Oh, yeah.
That's old school stuff.
Yeah.
I used to watch this old house just for that, when they used to...
Reglaze it, is that what it's called? Yeah, I've done it once or twice. That's time.
It's hard.
Yeah, I've done it, like, if I'm sitting out in the sun doing that, I'm okay. I'll do anything hard. Sitting in the sun.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Light fixtures? Old school ones?
Love, those sell well, too.
Gas-powered ones?
I come across them. I don't know anything about them. They do sell well, though. They're still, like, I guess some people they redo it, so they still can use them as gas. You can
reprime it and,
But I think there's also a lot of people who wire it for electrical. But still, cool. Really cool. Like, beautiful metal. There's all sorts of beautiful light fixtures out there. Like,
I've seen the modern ones, and I don't like them.
Yeah.
I'd rather use an old one and then hook up a gas line to it and then run it off of gas.
Be pretty cool.
and then invite a bunch of environmentalist friends of them. I don't have any environmentalist friends. Just to show them that you're wasting gas for illumination. It's the flame. It's the way it looks and the way the amber cascades everywhere.
Or what about someone who's on an island who actually wants that as their lighting?
Yeah.
My parents had a cottage on an island where there was no power. So that was fun. Always
candles.
Candles, a lot of like the old school lanterns.
Yeah.
Oil lamps. And help my stepdad hook up some solar panels and during the COVID times. And it's all good learning.
Should bring some of that shit back instead of LEDs. I'm on a kick right now. I hate LEDs.
Yeah, get rid of them all.
I want to get rid of all of them now. I don't care. Yeah. I never liked the CFLs.
No.
I hated those.
Yeah.
I want to go right back to incandescent or just, what are they called? The old filament? What do they call Edison bulbs?
Yeah, yeah.
You ever find those?
Oh, yeah.
Because they last a long time.
They do, yeah. Yeah.
In good shape?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I know I have a few.
Yeah?
A few for sure, yeah.
We used to buy them for film, like back in the days.
Really?
Because they would be practical on camera, so you would see them.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see the filament
the
way it looked, right? First of all, LED strobe. They strobe funny now. That's why when you ever see nighttime stuff with cars or headlights, you have to have a certain megahertz on the camera shit to adjust. You got to go in the same plane as them.
Really,
otherwise, you'll start to strobe.
So they use old lights on the set?
They use practical lights. Yeah. We used to always do it.
Interesting.
And then the funny thing is that you'd have to have a fire marshal on set.
Maybe I should be buying more light bulbs.
Listen, I love them, using them because of the look of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If it's going to be seen on camera,
yeah,
you want that, trust me. And now that's why I'm like, yeah, let's bring back the old filament ones. I want that shit.
Well, there's all the studies, too, about how new lights affect your concentration.
I don't understand people who want, like, cool light in their homes and their cool LED lights. And I was like, you realize this is hurting your eyes, right?
Yeah.
And which hurts your cabeza.
It's affecting your whole mind state. There's all sorts of...
So was it helpful with the book to get that published?
It was a weird state. Like, you mean like mentally? Like,
yeah.
It was interesting because I'd never done anything like that.
And you were asked or...
So Sarah had put out a post on her Instagram that said, call for authors. If anyone's got a story to tell about your journey, what's happened during COVID. And like, I was still in the, like, what the... happening here. So I was called to do it and I did it, and writing it, it was therapeutic, and it felt good to get it out. I think it should be out.
Did it feel great to get published and other people read it?
You go through that wave of like, oh my god, this is going out to the world.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna read this, or not everyone, like it's not that big or anything, but like people are gonna read it. You have to just be okay with your story. And I read it now, and I am like, wow, like, I've come a long way from there. But, like, even just looking back and seeing what I went through and remembering that time was not nice.
That was bullshit. Lightly. It was so bullshit.
It was unreal. It's dystopian. Weird.
I get a little upset when I see businesses who still have the stupid stickers. I just get it. I don't know. Just want to say something.
The people are still outside wearing masks.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to say something, but then I just keep to myself.
I know. Right? I do a little bit better now at letting people, if you want to do that, you want to do your thing. Go for it. That's fine. I've gone down a whole different life than you, and I've studied some different things, and you can do what you want.
Do you
want
to share?
What's
helped you?
Well, just learning.
The reason I'm asking is because I've done shows, and it's just, I don't know what it is about my show, or maybe it's me. It's got something to do with it. But I've had a lot of men reach out to me and want to talk about some really hard hitting stuff. And it's directly related to mental health.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, trace people go through a lot of shit, men and women. And we are tough people in definition.
Yeah.
But we do go through a lot of shit. And sometimes they do need a little help. And sometimes if I can share something, or somebody else that's on the show that can share something that can help somebody, then shit, share it. That's how I look at it.
I think everyone sharing their journey just helps everybody feel like that, okay, everybody's going through weird stuff or hard times. And just to not be scared to share it, I think, is half the battle to help someone else open up and be like, okay, well, she can talk about that and not feel ashamed or not be pulled back into it. And like I got through by doing a lot of research, a lot of studying, and just about the mind, because of how the COVID, you know, was all tied to wanting to remain naturally healthy.
Yeah.
So then, of course, my fight or flight in me was fight. I couldn't flight. I had Chloe and a house. Can't just pick up and leave. I thought about it. Like, if they were coming in my door forcing me, I was gonna take off. I don't know what I would do, but that was where I was at. So my first real instinct was just to research and like double check, like, am I wrong here? Like, is something going on? Am I actually the one who's wrong? So I just kept learning and learning about natural health, and, you know, how the mind is tied to everything.
Yep.
There's more than enough studies now to prove that it actually affects our physical health. And then, you know, the deeper you go, you know, despite keeping toxins out of your body, that's one thing. Like, that's a whole other, that's, everybody should be doing that as best they can. You know, we're subject to our financial budgets or time, especially people with kids. You know, they resort to what's quick. But if you can, I think everybody does want to eat real food, right? That's good. That's step one. But also, your mind is everything. It really is. It's what's connected to our nervous system. It's what's connected to all your hormonal glands and all the different glands that release different chemicals within your body are what affect your physical health. And so, you know, like, I could tell that the state that this mental, you know, what it was putting me into mentally was far more harmful than they could ever imagine, yet...
You didn't want to be there. Nobody wanted to be there.
Yeah, I just want to do my job. What are you talking about? Like, why do you think you need to tell me what to do with my body? Like, you know, whole other level. So first hole was researching, making sure I'm not wrong about health and things like that. And, you know, also knowing that this wasn't just something new that popped into my head today. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it because you guys are telling me that. That's not what it was. My whole life, it was about natural health. And, you know, Chloe had a naturopathic vet. Like, we went to her whole life. We avoided the vet like the plague. And and if we did have to go, it was a naturopath. She had acupuncture, you know, like, it's just been part of me. And then so the whole ordeal, you know, I felt like they were telling me I couldn't be who I was, really. So... learning more about that, and then the more you anchor where you know who you are, then it doesn't matter what anybody else is telling you, because you know, like, I knew I wasn't harming anyone. So, like, what are you guys doing butting in on what I'm trying to do with my life?
It's interesting that your first thought to do any kind of research was to first verify that you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, well, that's like the, I don't know, traumas, I guess, do that.
I know, but it's interesting, mindset. Which I think you know that you weren't doing anything wrong.
No, yeah.
And like I said off mic, I was just saying, listen, I was never pressuring anybody.
No, you do what you want.
But people were pressuring me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand this two-way road here because it seems like it's a dead end. No. You guys are saying one thing and I'm saying, and I'm not saying the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and then even now too, like a lot of, like the past election, those people are, like a lot of them saying like, well, we chose this way because we want inclusive. Do you remember what happened?
Do we remember what happened with long-term cares and hospitals and all this other bullshit?
And again, when I tie into all the research I have done, and it was, again, it wasn't just like just new studying I'd done on natural health and all these long-term care homes and knowing the mental state that they were being put in by isolating them from their families and the fear state that the whole government and everything was pushing. That's more destructive to the whole body than, like...
It does, 100%.
So much harm. You can't live in a fear state and be healthy. You cannot. You have to be in somewhat of a happy, peaceful, balanced joy. That's the only way to be healthy. You cannot be sad, angry, scared, and be healthy. You can't. And there is science to prove that.
No, we know. has it gotten better? Is it getting better? Or is it still questionable in the next little while now?
I think it's different people going through the fear at this time, is what I think.
It's a different kind of fear?
Maybe the same kind of fear, or, like, I would say that, like, people like us who during the COVID time, we went into the like, whoa, 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 what's happening? I think a lot of people in that wave are now like, okay, you guys do it. We're gonna keep on with our lives, keep doing what we're doing, and we're gonna keep working hard, and we're gonna keep knowing that we're not doing anything wrong. We're not hurting anyone. And so those people, I think, are kind of stabling out. And then there's the new people who are, you know, they're scared of Trump, and they're like, those people are now just in it's like a new wave of fear. So I think we're fine. I think everything's
fine. I just call them stupid Canadians. That's what I just call them, right? I don't have a problem with Trump. I'm sorry, but I don't think
he's never done
anything wrong with me.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, right?
So, I don't think we need to be scared of him, that's for sure.
I'm a Canadian, so I care about Canadians, and I care about Canadian soil, and I just figure we need to start producing some product here.
Yeah, we do. But then that ties back into like how people have to be more self-responsible with what they're buying and where they're spending their money. And so many people just don't. Like, they don't. Whether they don't have the capacity or they aren't aware of the ripple effect.
I
think that's a lot of it. Like, they really don't get it.
I'm doing a lot of, like, I talk to a lot of friends, and it's just like, you start looking down, you go down certain rabbit holes and stuff like that. And toothpaste is big, deodorant, all this shit. Like, you start discovering, why does my bread need to have 15,000 ingredients in it? I don't understand. I'm European. I love bread, but I can't stand the bread of today, what's being made. So I need to figure out, how do I find bread that's...
You're going to make your own bread. We're making our own bread.
I know. That's the thing about it. And same with pasta. And it was like... two or three exes ago, she was gluten tolerant, celiac or something like that. So I got on a kick of gluten-free pastas and discovered Rumi, and I was like, okay, so that's pretty good.
But it's not the gluten that's the problem. It's the chemicals.
That's
sprayed on it here.
I know. So I'm trying to find pasta that's like not from here.
Winners.
Sorry?
Winners. You can get it.
Really?
Yeah.
What brand?
A bunch of different brands, but it's usually from Italy.
Because I fucking like pasta.
Yeah,
you know what
me
I mean?
Too. Yeah.
But I don't want to eat
American Canadian. I buy pretty well all my pasta from Winners now.
Really?
Yeah. Or if I can afford it, some more local stuff. But
where? Like on the checkout line or something?
No, like, it's in like the food section.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to check that out.
HomeSense probably does too.
Same company?
Yeah, same thing.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the Bay?
I don't know.
Winners, HomeSense? Isn't that the same? No? Different company?
Yeah.
I don't know. At Premier Physiotherapy and Sports Medicine, they don't just treat symptoms with the subpar standard experience people have come to know. Listen up, trying to skip this ad? That's exactly how you strained your back last time. The clinicians there provide accurate, specific diagnosis and evidence-based treatment techniques to provide clear and personalized effective management plans. They thrive when they hear people say that they've tried physio before and it didn't work, because they raise the standard of what physiotherapy should be by managing your issue. Whether you're recovering from injury, awaiting surgery, trying to resolve lingering pain, or striving for peak performance, they use the latest equipment and proven methods to restore your ability and confidence. From physiotherapy and massage therapy to chiropractic care, nutrition counseling, and psychotherapy, their multidisciplinary team supports both your body and mind every step of the way. Discover the difference and book your consultation today at premierphysiotherapy.com or call 905-417-9991. Premier Physiotherapy and Sports Medicine. Your goal is their goal. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I don't know.
Well, the Bay went bankrupt, but it's just going to stay open.
Is it? I have not.
Some corporation bought it.
Oh, okay.
I think what they did was they basically got rid of everybody's pension.
Of course.
Welcome to Canada, where we
find the loopholes.
That's what we do. We find the loopholes to benefit our corporations to control your mind.
Yes,
and when you try to speak up and object, I want raw milk.
Like it's dangerous.
Fuck off! Like just really, I want regular eggs.
Nope.
Lately, I've been finding out that they've been putting dye into the yolks to make them look darker because everyone's buying
their own. They're buying
eggs that have darker yolks. So now they're starting to inject the yolks to make them look dark. And I was like, how the fuck are they doing that?
I don't know.
They're taking every egg and just fucking...
Could be.
No way. I don't
know.
Really?
I don't know. Could be a theory. I don't know. I thankfully have enough leads on local eggs that I mostly get to eat local eggs.
Until they shut those individuals down for whatever reason, right?
That's We gotta fight that. I got some friends who are currently fighting the chicken bylaw in Barrie. Yeah.
I want what they did in the Netherlands. I want the government to eat 4 chickens each for every person so we could park it on the back. They can eat the scraps.
Yeah. The whole footprint is way smaller. It's way better for everybody.
Is it true? Sorry.
I don't want to say, but I have chickens right close to me. You don't hear them. You hear them a little bit. You don't smell them for sure.
No, like they don't give off a scent.
There's no problem.
No.
You don't hear them any more than a child screaming or someone playing, if someone plays drums in their house, you hear it.
Which one's louder, a crying politician or a chicken?
Definitely the politician. I would definitely rather.
Is it true? Because I'm all about, I like grounding, right? So yeah. I like walking on grass and barefoot and all this other shit. But someone told me recently that even if you touch a tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bare hand contact.
Absolutely.
You still get grounded that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, everything in nature, humans and plants, everything, it has a bioelectric current going through it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think from what I've learned, like I'm still in these holes, but it's more of a balanced current. So there's not a lot of fluctuation to it. So when you're grounding, to something stable. And so there's different frequencies, higher, lower, whatever. And we're all different. Everybody's on a different frequency at all times. But anything that's natural, like a tree or the water or rocks, they're stable. They're consistent.
Yeah.
They're not changing constantly. Yeah. So when you're touching it, then your whole body has the opportunity to ground. And same with when you're around a person who's a stable, grounded person. That's where you feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's true.
And then
same with animals.
One of the fun things I kind of just learned recently, I was at my friend's shop the other day because he was helping me. I don't have a table saw. Well, I didn't. I just bought one, but I didn't have a table saw last week. And so he was ripping some pieces for my kitchen for me, and he was showing me his table saw that has the stop. I can't remember what it's called.
Saw stop?
Saw stop.
Yeah.
And how it senses the electrical current in your hand.
From your hand.
And I was like, oh, isn't that funny? When you try and talk about the electrical current in your body when it has to do with health, people are like, oh, no. That doesn't exist yet.
It's right there.
Here's a product.
It only stops because it detects the current inside your body. I know.
And so your health is all about that current flowing smoothly and consistently. It's
a very good point. I never even looked at it. I never connected the two together.
It's all over in front of our faces.
That's the reason why it stops.
It's the reason why it stops, because it senses the current. It knows it's alive.
That's actually very, very good point.
He told me it senses water too. If the wood's damp,
exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Because the water holds the current.
Because I gave it to a friend. He used it, and he was using a wet piece of wood, and it just snapped. And he's like, I don't know what happened, man. I was cutting wood, and I looked at the wood, and was like, dude, it's saturated, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was fascinating. I think it's great, because that's why I've been scared of table saws, is because it's just seemed a little more risky, and I have seen piece shoot back, too.
Can't you apply that technology to a miter saw?
Or anything.
Or most saws, right? Health. I don't know. There's got to be a reason why.
How come the mainstream health can't apply the current and all the interesting, there's tons of science and tons of, doctors and all sorts of different fields of people in this sort of research, and they're sharing what they know, they're sharing what they've learned, but it's getting censored. It's not getting shared.
I know.
It doesn't make
money. I saw the censorship during the whole COVID bullshit where it's okay, so this affects your immune system, so you don't want us to exercise. All right, listen, I know enough to think that it will build your immune system if you exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never got sick.
And cutting off the fresh air? You don't think that's a
problem? Never got sick, and I continued recording shows all through COVID, and I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
I just asked them, are you okay talking on the mic? One time I joked and I just put masks on the mic. That's a fucking joke. Don't worry, it's just a condom on the mic. Don't worry, it's fine. The mic won't get COVID.
There's that one quote I saw. I actually have a folder on my phone that's the best COVID memes. But one of the favorites that always rings in my head is, the only people who are still scared of COVID are the ones vaccinated against it. Come on.
Listen, it was your choice to do it. If you did it, great. I just don't want you fucking telling me otherwise, right? And
if you're still scared, then it means you don't trust what you're putting into you.
Yeah.
So then, cycle.
Like I said, I've never had a flu shot. I wasn't going to fucking jump to that shit. No. So I don't believe in it. If it was really dangerous, you guys would not allow us out.
Yeah. Well, there's another meme. It's imagine there's a 98% chance that you wouldn't shit your pants, but they made you wear a diaper anyway. 99% chance.
It's just funny that's how it... like people actually bought into that shit. So that's why I wasn't surprised about the recent election. People bought into like, this is the land of buying in so much kind of bullshit.
But it's unfortunate. It's what's fed to them. It's the censorship. It's they're just unfortunately unaware.
I don't like it.
I know. We just keep.
We'll see how much longer this show can last because I've been outspoken, but I don't give a shit.
Nope.
What else you want to share before I get to the 12 questions? We've talked a lot.
I know, yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's been great.
You did great. Thank you. Weren't nervous. You didn't come across the, unless I don't see it. I don't know.
I kind of, like you said, you forget.
You do. Yeah. I told you. I said, didn't I say painless?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's painless.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I've only had a couple of people come back and go, can I do it again? Because I could probably answer the questions better. And I was like, how? We're going to ask same questions or something. Yeah.
So these are the questions you gave me, like the pre.
Those are the questions that I'm talking about. Perfect. Yeah, no, everything else that we just talked about, like that's the extent of information that I have about you.
That's awesome.
I was just going with it because I was fascinated by that whole antique, and I would totally love to see an auction one day and just check it out.
Yeah.
And I'd be scanning the room, looking at people going, that fucker's going to be evil. Yeah. That guy's not going to be a good...
There's still some live auctions, but most have sadly switched to online because they bring higher dollars and... I guess it's just higher dollars.
Do you still get the gavel and like you?
No, and not even most. I've only been to a couple
paddles?
That have the.
No.
Some have paddles. And then you get the old school guy who actually like pins his number to his hat. Love it.
See, that's something that you got to experience. You can't get rid of that. That has to still be a thing.
No, and then like I've got my favorite auctioneer, and like I just absolutely love the days when he's got auctions and like favorite days of life.
That's his full time gig.
Yeah. He's probably mid-70s now, but like, and his dad was an auctioneer too. Love it.
Are they allowed to bid on anything?
No, like they'll say ahead, like, this guy on my team is bidding today. You'll see that. And they'll say he's bidding for this family, or like they'll have absentee bids that they'll bid.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think they're just good people. Like he's an old farm guy. He's a good person.
At the last thing passed.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Jen?
That's it.
I don't know. Well, they're construction questions, but I guess change them to antique questions or some. We'll see. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Well, some of the other questions are pretty. A person you would trade places with for a day.
So this one, I would say, like, I don't know. I don't know a person specifically, but I'd go my younger self to be with my Chloe again. My Chloe.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
I don't know, food or songs?
Like anything, guilty pleasure.
Oh, those Portuguese tarts.
Oh. There'll be a lot of those on Sunday.
They're so good. Oh, good.
What is your least favorite tool?
A hole saw.
Because it kicks.
I've got smoked in the stomach and the head.
It kicks. You know the trick to get rid of the kick?
No.
You start to wobble it. So you make the hole tiny, tiny. You let it wobble so then you can't bind.
Okay, good.
That's
to know.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
Because nothing hurts more than a kick, and you weren't expecting the kick. It hurts.
It does.
We've all experienced it. Biggest risk you ever took?
I guess just stand on my ground COVID time, I think, maybe.
Good for you. Best compliment you ever got?
That'd be from my brother. My sister-in-law, she had bought a treehouse thing on Marketplace, and we had to go dismantle it and bring it home from someone from their backyard.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law's getting all worried about it. And my brother said, don't worry, Jen's going with you. She won't let you fail. So that was a good compliment, you know?
That's nice.
Trusted that we'd make it happen.
Favorite beverage?
Maple sap.
Yeah.
I love drinking that.
What never fails to make you laugh?
Larry David.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Get a COVID shot.
What profession? No, I agree with you. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Okay, what's top of the list?
I kind of like the idea of learning the different fine textures of like plaster. Or like,
well, like a lime wash and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Mm.
Except that's, I wouldn't be outside enough.
Skill. You got to learn. It takes a little...
I don't know.
Lots I'll introduce you to Enrico.
See the guy that's in Vaughan area?
Yeah, Bellatelia.
Yeah, I saw. So I want to go to one of his days, but I'm like, do I need to start another?
No, I'll introduce you. He knows his shit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, looks like it. It took me forever to get that fucker on the show.
Yeah.
Now he wants to come back anytime now because he had a blast doing the show.
I'd love to go when I was training.
So. Yeah, he does them once a month, yeah, I think.
It's just been a few for sure. I'm like, maybe this one?
He doesn't, you know what he hasn't done in a while? He used to do the Italian word of the day.
Oh, yeah?
On his post. Yeah. And he would give you the or just Italian phrase or something, yeah, like that.
That's cool.
And what it means, right? And I don't that's think cool. he's done it in a little while. Maybe he's just no, gotten too busy. It. Yeah. I like these little Italian words. Che cazzo.
What does that mean? Okay.
What profession other than your own? What profession? No, that's what I asked you. Did I ask you that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. What is your favorite curse word?
I guess fuck. Fucking. What the fuck?
Fucking, 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 fuck, fuck. What is your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
It's a tough one. I haven't tried any of my dream vehicles. I like what I have. I have an Xterra. It's good for off-roading. 6-speed manual.
They don't make cool trucks like fun. That anymore. Yeah. It's got the wheel on the outside still. It's probably
a lot. No, I don't have the wheel on the outside. Well, underneath. But
it's underneath.
Yeah.
But they used to have the wheel on.
That's Jeep.
No, that was the old school Pathfinder.
Pathfinder.
Old school Pathfinder, yeah. First gen or second gen.
I like that it's manual and it's really like an awesome off-road, like a Jeep. Like,
yeah,
it can climb
stick.
Anything.
It's yeah. manual stick.
It's great.
So nobody's ever going to steal it.
Nope.
And the last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
That's a tough one. I don't know. You were right.
That's a good one. I like that one. Jen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Been a blast.
Looking forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of construction people, but a lot of good people, great people. I know pretty much everybody that's going to be there.
That's awesome.
There's a few stragglers that are new that have just reached out that want to come, and I was like, great.
I still got to find a friend to drag with me.
Who's your plus? Yeah, because I know you just gave me a plus one, so I don't know who it is. Okay, no, that's fine. But, it's going to be good, and we're going to have a good talk, and there's going to be good food.
Nice.
And then there's no alcohol, but I have a funny feeling some people might be bringing me some booze. So if they bring some booze, it might magically open up in the studio somewhere.
Darn.
It's not my fault if it does open up. So
awesome.
People are listening to this after the show, and anything happens. So whatever happened, we deny it. Whatever happens on the construction life doesn't happen in real life. So thanks very much, Jen. We're out of here.